Hello.
Realistically, the only thing that's important is you. And this might sound not very empathetic or something, but the most energy you ever put into anything has to be into yourself. Because if it's into someone else, you're going to drain your battery pretty quick, aren't you? So that's, without you being in the right place, no one else is going to be in the right place. Because you think you're trying to help them, and them, and that's not healthy. So the most important thing...
Hello. I could eat about 1.5 million of these.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Welcome to the It's a Drama podcast.
Daddy, I love him.
My mother thanks you.
If you can't say something nice...
Right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready to make myself.
Hello and welcome to the It's a Drama podcast. I'm Liz.
And I'm Brian.
And today we're back with another behind the scenes episode of life. And I was just going to say, actually, Brian, before I describe the show, I just wanted to say to you that you can take the DJ, you can take the man away from the DJ booth.
Yes.
But you can never take the DJ out of the man, can you,
no.
Brian?
No. Hey? Why? What makes you think
well,
that?
Well, just with the way we were just setting up the podcast there, and you're like, do you want a little bit of music, Liz? And I said, well, I don't know.
No.
No, well, yeah, it's not exactly...
Not that music,
because you were putting on the dun, 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 and all that all exciting music, and I thought, doesn't really go with the mood, but then you just couldn't resist hitting that little button that goes, you know, I don't know, like, wah! And now, Brian Deagle!
It's all about me at the end of the day, Liz.
So we just wanted to come back to you this week with another behind-the-scenes episode and just fill you in on what is happening in life. And we also want to talk to you as well about our decision to make a behind the scenes episode and not go with our normal format of let's pretend everything's all right and keep being the entertaining couple that we are and just keep moving forward, because me and Brian have got slightly different views on this, haven't we, Brian?
Yeah, because I was thinking about entertainers, and you think instantly you go back, for some unknown reason with me, you go back to the 1970s, when you had all those entertainment shows, and you tuned in because you knew what you were going to get. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As in, you tune into the Two Ronnies. It was a comedy show. You tune into...
God, don't compare us to them.
Yeah, but, George and Mildred then.
Jesus. Pick someone cool, please. Was there anyone cool in the 1970s?
Mildred was cool. You resemble Mildred.
Right, do you know what? Come on, hurry up.
So that's what I'm trying to say. So it's hard for us to almost make the choice to make a behind the scenes podcast.
Yeah.
Because again, the thing is, yes, you want to keep it as real as you can for who you are and what you are. So this is a huge decision for us to make a behind the scenes. And it's not often that we do them. We don't do that many of them. But there's times when you just think, like last week, couldn't face doing a podcast. As simple as that, wasn't it?
Well, we can talk about that, yeah. And I just want to say, and I'm not being argumentative here, but I do want to say it's not a big decision for me to make a behind the scenes. To me, it comes very, very naturally to want to tell people exactly how I'm feeling.
Yes.
And in the hope that people will be able to relate and be like, oh, that's how I felt. And thank God I'm not the only one. And by telling me that, you've made me feel like you've given me permission to feel the same and all that kind of thing. Yeah. It's not a big thing for me to be able to share behind the scenes stuff, but it is when I'm working with you. I've got to be honest. It is. I'm not saying this in a horrible way. I'm just saying, because me and you have created together.
Yeah.
Like my newsletter is just me, my book is just me, but me and you, the brand me and you have created together on this podcast is very much an uplift, I hope, an uplifting, entertaining podcast. But at the end of the day, people started listening to this podcast originally because they wanted real life. It starts off, you're going around the world with your teenagers. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why that's why you started listening to us. You might have started listening to us because we talked about New Zealand and you want to know what life is really like in New Zealand. You might have started listening to us because we were traveling Europe and we were house sitting, spending no money. But whatever the reason, the person listening to this podcast now started listening to us, I am of the utmost belief that they started listening because we were real and we told the truth.
Yeah.
We've never been like, you know, everything's so amazing. Like, we never have been like that.
No.
Not unless it has been. And there's loads of times that we have been, because it has been. But what I wanted to say to you today, and the conversation that we had this morning,
yeah,
when we went down to the cafe and we had a coffee and we were like, look, life's really, really hard at the moment. You know, it's, we're in the thick of it with my mum. And do we pass that on? Do we just go another week of not doing a podcast? Do we fake it? No, absolutely not. Okay, well, we can't fake it, so let's just do nothing. Or do we just let you know what's going on and be real, in the hope that you're not sitting there thinking, oh, for God's sake, not this flipping conversation again, not more tears, not more down, and not more cancer conversation. It's just like, we just hope that you are in, enjoying's not the right word. We hope that this brings value to you, in the sense that you're following a couple who have completely changed their life, who love to travel, who now work online when they used to be a plumber and a homeschooling teacher. And this is it. This is what life looks like. And we're hoping that by doing these episodes, that you get even a teeny bit of comfort.
Not alone.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. It's all those things. It's what you take out of every episode. And like you say, you invest time listening to us, me and Liz. So there's obviously something that you like about us that you listen to. And that's the thing, isn't it? Is what you're saying is that, hopefully it's interesting.
So what I wanted to talk about today, or what we wanted to talk about today, was, what's the word? Consuming. All consuming. That's the word that just keeps coming back to me, is how, when something like this happens in your life, and again, if you're new to the podcast, my mum's got stage 4 cancer, mastitis of the brain, and it's just been a one hell of a journey. And as is anyone's journey when they're going through cancer or dying illness, what's the word when you can't cure it? What's the
terminal
illness? Yes. Yep. Or anything. That's just anything. I'm
anything.
Not even going to say.
It's how you cope with stuff
how,
that's overwhelming.
Exactly. Yep. Thank you. Yeah. And we just wanted to talk about, because yesterday I went for a walk with Sunny. This is what got me thinking. Then this is why I wanted to share this podcast, because last night I went for a walk with Sunny, which was an absolute joy, because.
Sunny, our son.
Yeah. Yep. Sunny is 22, and it's not very often, with him working and everything that's going on at home at the moment, and we're working and mum's in hospital, and I'm gonna give you a quick update in a minute. But before that, I just want to say, this is what Sunny said to me on my walk last night, because I'm thinking about how this is affecting the whole family. You know, not just me, but how it's affecting everyone in our family.
And it
has this ripple effect, doesn't it? And I said to him, we're walking along the beach, and he had his head down. And immediately, as a mum, you think, oh, I know what he's thinking. You know, he's thinking about his grandma. He's just really, really sad. He's wondering how long she's got left to live. He's regretting everything that he's, all these things that come into your head, that as a mum, you think, I've got to fix it. I've got to fix it. I'll make it right for him now. So the first thing I said to him was, are you spending a lot of time thinking about mama, you know, thinking about your grandma? And he looked at me and he said, I'm spending an awful lot of time. And I was waiting for him to say, thinking about grandma. He said, I'm spending an awful lot of time thinking about how this is affecting the rest of my family.
Right. Yep.
And that's what he said to me.
Yeah.
He said, because I can see how it's changing you, how it's changing dad, how it's changing Tess, how it's changing, you know, our uncles and his aunties. And he said, that's what I'm almost grieving, he said. Like, you know, was just, where have they gone? Like, where's our family gone? Where's our
spark,
normality gone?
Yeah.
Where's that all gone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, and it made me just step back and think about the word all-consuming, because I feel like, when something like this happens, it's very easy to just go all in and forget about everything else on the outside. Not forget about your family. You never forget, but think, they'll be all right.
Yeah.
This is my mum. Like, you know, this is my mum I'm dealing with. I need to give everything to her. Like, you know, this is this is what we need to do. With him saying that, it made me think, this is what we need to talk about.
Yeah, because I've noticed with Sunny that when, you think you're feeling normal, and say with her cooking dinner or something like that, and he comes in and he's just like, looks around, and then he goes, you right? Mm. You didn't seem all right. And you're like...
I know, he kept saying to me yesterday, what's wrong with,
I know, and that's when you notice that we have changed. Because this is a life-changing thing that's going on at the moment. So, yes, you do change. You don't send to be thinking, oh, you know, tomorrow I'm going to be doing this and that and whatever it is that you're going to be doing. There's no long-term thing at the moment that you can look, not so much look forward to, but even plan. You can't even plan at the moment, can you? And that's it has a knock-on effect that you just, although you're in the moment, you can't think even 2 days, 3 days ahead.
No.
Of what's going on.
And feel like you're in...
That's the change of what is happening, isn't it? Like, you know, all of a sudden it's just like there's no more, you can't plan anymore. You just have to just live life and keep living.
And again, that's that thing of you can plan.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that in a minute. Because I've got all these things in my head and I have written down a few things. But when you're doing a podcast like this, you have literally just got to listen to us talking and going through it in our head. Yeah. But what I will say is that, because I know that a lot of people have asked me about this. So Mum, she had a full brain radiotherapy and she was taking targeted chemotherapy tablet. And she was also on steroids because she couldn't walk. So they were giving her a lot of steroids.
Yeah, just to reduce inflammation and stuff. But it ended up being quite a high dose.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now she's coming down off the steroids. She still can't feel her legs. She's getting confused about a lot of things. She's not eating. She's lost her hell of a lot of weight. She's very, very frail, but somewhere in there still is Mum. It's like, and that's the hard thing. So right now, as we're recording this podcast, she is in hospital, being treated for what is it, Brian?
Mainly because she's not been eating great deals, and whatever she has been trying to get in, even because she doesn't feel like eating anything, it's just a compacted bowel basically, and that's what she just needed to go get sorted out, like, you know.
And from there, we want to take Mum and get her into hospice, which again is another big, huge guilt thing, emotional, what shall we, shan't we, is it the right, is it the wrong? I won't go into that. I just wanted to put you in the picture of where Mum is, because I know so many people have reached out to me and like, how is she and what's happening?
Yep.
And that's where we are with her. We're trying to get her, she's now under palliative care. We're trying to get her into hospice. And from there, we're going to just see, see how it goes. Mm-hmm. But that's where we are with Mum.
Yeah.
And where we are with the person dealing with this, not dealing, dealing's the wrong word. Again, guilt.
Just coping.
Just living.
Yep.
Living with it. Is when do you stop? When is there a line that you draw and you think, okay, I'm not going to think about this anymore because I've got my own family to think about. I've got my own children to think about. I've got my own husband to think about. I've got myself to think about. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is what that's what I'm struggling with at the moment. I'm going to be totally honest. I'm really, until that conversation with Sunny last night, when I'm hoping that we've kind of, it's gone a little bit of an alarm bell in my head.
Yeah.
To go ding-a-ling-a-ling, wake up, Liz. You know, this isn't just the only thing that's going on in your life. There are other people around you. When do you kind of say, look, I'm worried, but now I'm going to put myself over here and still have time for your, just not time for yourself, but just time to just live your life as you were living it for your other family. You know, how do you carry on normally without being completely and utterly consumed and just going and doing what you want to do, which is put your head under a bucket and just go, please, 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 just stop this, stop this, stop this. I don't like it.
Yeah. I think you've already explained to a degree, you know, you've set up just about everything there. You know, first off, you said it's not just about me, and then you've got to think about someone else. And realistically, the only thing that's important is you. and this might sound not very empathetic or something, but the most energy you ever put into anything has to be into yourself. Because if it's into someone else, you're going to drain your battery pretty quick, aren't you? So that's, without you being in the right place, no one else is going to be in the right place. Because you think you're trying to help them, and them, and that's not healthy. So the most important thing, I've said this umpteen times, and people say to me, "Oh, that doesn't sound, you're not very empathetic." And it's, I can't be empathetic if my mental space isn't in the right place. But I can help you if I'm in the right place. It's not that I don't care about you. It's just like, you're going to have to just sort this out yourselves, guys. Why I get myself in the right place. And don't forget, I'm always there for you. And they know that. I think this is why Sonny can talk to you about it, because he knows that, you need to be number one, as in, and everybody should think that they have to be number one. There's no, that without you, then there isn't a number two or number three, or there's no other number one, because you are number one. And that is a way that you have to deal with something, because you can't live with yourself if you don't, because you're going to be absolutely whacked and thinking that I need to help everybody all the time. Because I don't think that's a...
Okay, can I just say then, I absolutely love you so much. As well as telling you how much I love you, can I just say, let's just move away from the mum situation then. You, as a husband, are giving everything to us and our family.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, this is what I said to you the other day. I said, I don't tell you often enough, but you are this constant strength going through, bringing me a glass of water in the morning, making sure the breakfast is done every single day. You're making dinner every night. You're doing this every day. You're taking the dog out, making sure she's cleaning up when she wees all over the floor. It's you doing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When are you finding time to fill your cup up, to make sure that you're strong enough for everyone?
Because this is not a case of keeping yourself busy. This is about your own inner strength. I can do this to be helpful for everybody else, but I am doing it for me as well. I don't just get me a glass of water, you a glass of water. I get me a glass of water. I don't just make me a cup of tea. I make you a cup of tea. It's no harder to make two cups than what it is to make one cup. I have to eat. I have to do this. Someone has to take a little bit of control on that, because it's not saying that you're just sitting there waiting for me to hand everything to you. We both make dinner. We both do this. We both go to the shops. We're both working. We're both on a podcast together. You know, you're a creative, but it's...
So are you.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is there isn't an answer to it. It's just my mental state is I'm quite... normally quite calm and collected. And this is not my mum at the end of the day going through this. So when my mum passed 6 years ago, it was, in theory, I thought it was quite sudden, but she went through a similar type of illness that it wasn't cancer, apparently, but then I don't know whether my mum knew it was cancer, and she didn't tell anyone it was cancer. But so it wasn't a shock when it happened, but it was an awful shock because you're losing your mum. And not only that, she was the other side of the world. And I knew I had to be there for my family when I got there, especially my sister. My dad, I knew he would probably be coping, because he's a similar type person to a degree, but I don't know what I'm trying to get round to here. Other than that, I'm just saying I quite can see quite clearly. I don't make myself so busy that I'm not thinking about what's going on. Or the main thing is about the empathy for people. We put too much of our thought into how that person is feeling. You don't know how that person's feeling. I don't know how your mum feels in hospital right now when she wakes up and she doesn't know she's there. So what good is that doing me if I think about that too much? If I think when she wakes up, and this is what happened this morning, she woke up, she didn't know where she was. She phoned her husband and said, I haven't got a clue where I am or what I'm doing in here. That type of thing. If you think about it and think, oh, I should feel like that, because that would be awful if I feel like that. She's not feeling herself. If she was 100% herself, she wouldn't be asking these questions, like, you know. So this is why you've got to think about it, but not put yourself in that position, because all of a sudden you become as weak as the person that's in bed, because all that emotion is there, because you're making yourself feel like that. And how is that the right thing to do, like, you know? And I know what you're going through, but I can't make myself feel worse. Why should I make myself feel worse when I want to be strong for everybody else? And that's mainly how I get through things, is by not, I'm not saying I'm out of touch with my feelings, far from it. I'm well in touch with them, but I know where that will take me. I think that's what I'm trying to say. And that's a great way to cope with the majority of things that are happening in the world. But, you know, I always put things back to business sometimes, when you can't micromanage. Don't micromanage anything. When you're a project manager, or you're managing people, or you know, employees and stuff like that, don't micromanage them. And you can't micromanage your mum's life, and you can't micromanage Sunny's life, and you can't micromanage Tessa's life. So you have to sort your own stuff out, and then you'll be strong for everybody else, and let them just let go a little bit, and let them do the thing they need to do, and then they'll see you stronger, and they will relax more. So, anyway.
Oh, just end the podcast now, because you've just given the best advice. That's it. I don't need to say anything else now. It's just...
Yeah.
Oh, Brian.
There you go.
Yeah. And you know what? I just... I just love the thing that you said about it's just helping... By helping you, I'm helping myself. Oh, bye. Bye.
Hey. Oh, there goes the blister.
Yep. By helping you, I'm helping myself.
Yep.
Because then when you were saying that, when you were talking, I thought, yeah, because going for that walk last night with Sunny was actually helping him, because he wanted to go for a walk with me and tell me all about, you know, work and how he was feeling about all things, different things. But actually... That was filling me up so much. It gave me so much joy to be with him, and energy.
He gave you the energy.
Yes.
Because you thought he needed it.
Yeah.
And he thought you needed it, but yeah, there you go. It's about what fills you up, isn't it, at the end of the day? And you've got to get away from those. I know it's not a negative thought, but it's just a thought that this isn't going to do you any good.
Mm.
Don't think that. Think of what can I do for myself that will make this better?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and it's not selfish.
No.
It's far from it, because without that, you're not there for everybody else. And that's about being there for people.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't really know what else to talk about now, because you've kind of just answered all my questions. I'm like, that's exactly what I was... Why didn't you just tell me that before we pressed record, and then we could have just not done the podcast?
Do you know what? It's because sometimes you need to put a microphone in front of you mouth. And this is what I've said before, is like, you know, even if you know 50-50 on this podcast whether we release it, it's that thing. You don't have to release any podcast that you do, but if you've press record and you put a microphone, especially with headphones on, and I know there's a camera there, but it's just like, this is not designed to be a video podcast. It's just that people like to visually see things going on these days, because that's just the part and parcel of it. So, you know, it makes you talk, and it makes the other person listen, because when you're just having a conversation down the cafe, there's always other interactions of what's going on. There's a car coming past, there's a person walking down the road with a dog, someone stops you, good morning, hello. That, you lose your train of thought. But when you do this, it's a captive audience. I listen to you because it's coming right into my ears. I can't really hear the birds singing in the background. I know they're there. You know, and voice isolation on, you know, the Rodecaster Pro that we've got won't pick up the things in the background. We're sitting outside, sounds like you're in a studio, like, you know. And I can hear myself talking in my ears.
Hmm.
And that sometimes is a good thing, because, you know, you actually go on, and then there's a pause, and it's like, you need to fill the space, keep talking. And sometimes I won't. And sometimes I think you know it. You know, because you do a lot of mindful books and things like that. And I think, oh, you already know that.
No.
But sometimes...
Again, you know, this goes back to that thing, doesn't it? Of, you always think that people know the simple stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you always think, this is what I love about you, Bri. you always, like when someone asks me advice, I always think I've got to give them some big mind-blowing, oh my God, I've never heard that advice. You're amazing. Friggin' hell, why didn't I think of that Liz advice?
Yeah.
But I never think to give the simple advice that is, because like you say, you tend to think, oh, they'll already know that, like, you know? Yeah, it's just, it's so true. And I said to Sonny yesterday on our walk, you know, he was like, we got into other stuff. And I just said, you know, darling, it's, if you zoomed out on your life when you're 90, 100, and hopefully longer than that, like, you know, on your life and zoomed out, and you, and imagine that your life is like a railway track, and every little, whatever those things are called on a railway track, pole, you know.
The railway lines? The sleepers?
No, like you've got two sleepers, and then what's in between the sleepers that make the, like you've got two sleepers like that, and then you've got the bits in between that make.
They've got the two railway lines.
Yeah.
And then the sleepers are the things that the railway line sits on. They're made of wood or
they're
made of,
they go that way though, don't they? They go
across the lines.
Across the lines, yeah. And I thought, imagine, oh God, I don't know, I just couldn't make it simple, but. So where's the railway line? But I just said, imagine if you zoomed out from space and looked at your life and every one of those sleepers was a year. And then every pebble between each sleeper was a week. And then every bit of dust between the pebble, between the sleepers is a day. Yeah. And I said, and you zoomed out and you looked at your life and this thing that's happening now, this heartbreak, this upheaval, this, your family is in all over the place. Everyone's crying or your mum's crying all the time and your dad's worried and all the rest of it. It's going to just be a pebble in your life. Yeah. It's going to be one of the, this, what I was trying to say to him is, this isn't it. Mm. This will pass. You know, this will pass and you will move on and you will look back and it will just be a very small part of your life.
Yeah.
And when I was saying it, I was thinking, am I just stating the bleeding obvious here? But when I said it, he looked at me and he was like, yeah. And I thought, yeah, it was one of those things that it's not too obvious. Just say it. Just say what you're thinking.
The thing is, none of us are supercomputers and stuff like that. You know, we don't remember everything that's said to us. You know, some things go in and some things just, oh, well, yeah, you don't know what's going on in my mind at the moment. So how could I even think of that? And it's just like, you know, life isn't complicated. It's only complicated if you make it complicated or you think it's so complicated. It's just like, how are you right this moment, right this second in time? You know, is your leg falling off? No. I'm in pain. Yeah, most of us are in pain. So, but in what way? You know, it's not, you know, we can cope with it. It's just, I don't know, you know, we wouldn't be making this podcast if we could all cope and everything like that. You know, it's, I know it's, this isn't easy. And it's not saying that it's difficult. It's not saying it's complicated. It's just not easy because
what going through it?
Going through it. Yeah. Well, it's not. It's emotional, and you know, you've got to be aware. And if you're aware of those feelings that you're feeling, you can stop those feelings. You know, we were talking to the guy today about the noise in your head. You know, the constant ba 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 ba. What's going on? Like, you know, what's it's just, you just want it to be quiet and calm, and just, you know, there we are. We're going to Greece next week and we're going to be sitting on the beach drinking a cocktail and stuff like that. It's like, well, sometimes that's a silly way of making it, isn't it? Like,
well, you know? Here's the other thing as well, is when you say stop the feelings, I don't agree with that. I don't think you should stop feelings. I think you should feel the feelings and come out the other side rather than hold on to those feelings and emotions. That's what I struggle with. And that's what I'm trying really hard to work through is... rather than just like guilt is playing a huge role in my life right now, because I feel guilty that I'm getting this microphone out. I feel guilty that there's a camera there because, like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you know, why your mum is dying in hospital and you're here making a podcast? What on earth, Liz? What are you doing? Get up to that hospital, get by her bed, get down on your knees, hold her hand, like, wait till the moment she passes her last breath. Don't you dare come out in front of her. All those things go through your head, like, you know, and you get, you sometimes, like, you'll find yourself watching a film and like the other day we made a video on YouTube about a Slax video that Sonny had been in. He was in a music video, we loved it, and we made a video on YouTube, and I was filled with, we both were filled with joy and happiness watching that video. And you're there and you're like, oh my God, I love this. And you're laughing and you're making a joke about the Kiwis. And then all of a sudden you go, what are you doing laughing? What? Why are you laughing? You know what? You shouldn't be laughing. This is a sad time. Don't you dare laugh. And if you are going to laugh, don't, for God's sake, don't go on camera and do it in front of everyone. And this is what goes through your head. And this is what we were talking about this morning, yeah, as to why or if we should do this podcast anyway, because part of you is saying, no,
yeah,
don't be doing that. That's not good. And the other part is saying, after the last podcast you released, the behind the scenes podcast, when you talked about all this and coping and that flood of response that you got from all over, from YouTube comments, from emails, we got so many responses to people saying, by you showing us that you're going through this, it gives us the, what was the wording? It gives us the, oh, let me just get the right word. It gives, it's almost like you give, I can't remember the word.
Not but
you,
hope.
You, no, yeah, you give us the permission. There you go. Yeah. That was the word. It's someone giving you the permission to feel those feelings,
yeah,
and to feel, oh my God, I do that as well. Because again, it comes back to that thing of you're not alone. That was a long-winded way of saying that not, I don't particularly think it's a good thing to say, oh, here comes guilt. No, no, no. Get that out. Come on. Don't be thinking that. It's like, I think it's more healthy to think, I'm feeling really guilty, but I'm going to feel it and then move through the other side and get to the other side of it.
Yeah. There's a difference between the old saying, washing your, you know, your laundry in public. This is not about doing that. This is about trying to help other people, yeah, that you were saying about going on. So, you know, feeling guilty, there's a camera up, you're actually doing a podcast about your life. It's not like, oh, look, I've going through a divorce and that bastard did this, this, and this. And that's a little, come on, that's just, you're just throwing, that's, as my friend or ex-business partner used to say, you know, you start flying, you know, flinging shit, it sticks to everything, it goes everywhere, like, you know, and before you know it, everyone's covered in it. So that's not great. Like, this is not what this is. This is about if someone else, like you say, is going through it. But going back to your thing of saying, I think I should feel the feelings, which is what you said before, because, you know, you almost like feel like you should need to cry or you should need to do this. Who gave you permission, or why do you give your permission to feel like that?
Yeah, that's who gave me permission to be able to feel these feelings?
No, not so much feel the feelings. Why do you give yourself permission that you think you should feel those feelings?
Why do I give myself permission? I don't know.
Well, you're the one who gives yourself permission to start crying and to give yourself a feeling that I'm feeling guilty and I know how my mum is feeling at the moment.
Do you know what I think this is? Do you know what I really honestly think this is? I think it's an automatic go-to comfortable place of that's what I do at that time, maybe. I think that when I walk out of that hospital, like yesterday when I walked out of the hospital, I wanted to cry, but not because I was sad, because I thought I should be crying. I don't know if that's going to sound completely weird or not, but it's almost like, and again, just bear with me here, because again, this goes back to a conversation that I had with Tess at Christmas. And she said to me, before you let everything go, before you break down into a mass of tears and cry, because I am a crier, you know I am.
Yeah, always have been. But
yeah. Before you do that, why don't you just hold on for 1 second and think, where is this going to go? Where is this going to lead to? Where are these feelings of guilt going to lead to? This big breakdown of tears and crying and, oh my God, I'm such a bad daughter and this is poor my mum and she must, I'm, where is it going to go? Tess said this to me, 19 years old. And she said, because if you can just catch yourself before you go down that route of feeling the way you're going to feel,
yeah,
and just say to yourself, is this where I want to go? Is this the emotion that I want to go with right now? Because I honestly do think it is a natural, not natural, what's it called? An automatic thing of like, I see my mum, she's really, looks really sad, I'm sad. Not like, I see my mum, she looks really sad. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to say something strong. I'm going to go make a cup of tea. Because to me that, and this is going to sound really screwy now, but to me that sounds like someone's on my shoulder saying, no, that's a bad way to think. That means you don't care. That means if you do, if you don't cry, that means you don't care.
Which is guilt. Yeah.
Yeah, which is guilt. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that came from. I can't. That would be a very long podcast to say guilt comes from. It's just.
We all have it, but this goes back to what was said before. It's guilt that makes you think you should cry because that it must be awful for that person. You don't know that. You haven't got a clue. You know, you don't know what they're going through. Yeah, we put it on dogs and things like that, don't we, as well? Like, you know, our feelings on a dog, you know, how do you know? You don't.
Can I just tell you a story? The other day when we were down on the beach, and with me and you, we'd had a big conversation. I think it was the day mum went into hospital. And again, you're all, should we have called the ambulance? Are we jumping the gun? Was it the right thing to do? We could have just dealt with it at home. No, we couldn't have dealt with it at home. She was in pain. She needed to go to hospital. Yeah, but she didn't want to go to hospital. Yeah, but, and we were going through all these things. And we were down on the beach and we were stood at the side of the sea. And you looked out to the sea and we stood there and we didn't say anything to each other for about 3 minutes. Do you remember? Yeah. And you know what I'm going to say, don't you?
Yeah.
And I looked at you, I stood to the side, I looked at you and your eyes just staring into space, just staring right across the sea. And in my mind, I thought, he's thinking, you know, Liz, you're losing it. I'm losing her. I'm losing my wife here. She's upset. She's going to go down a big depressive loop. She's going to, what can I do to bring her back? And so in my mind, I was saying, I'm going to talk to Brian about this and I'm going to reassure him that I'm okay. So I said to you, it's funny at the time. It's funny now, but it wasn't at the time.
It wouldn't have been for you, but no, I was just like, okay.
No, it wasn't.
Maybe I wasn't reading the situation properly.
People are going to laugh when they hear this. So I put my hand on your shoulder and I squeezed your bicep and I said, hey, what are you thinking, darling?
Foolish fool.
And you said, I just wondered if there's ever been a Spitfire that was invented with rubber wheels.
No, it wasn't rubber. I was thinking, you know, how does an engine, because not an engine's got an oil sump. And I was thinking, because we were talking about Spitfires earlier on to a guy at the cafe, and it's like, how do they fly upside down without seizing up?
So that is a classic example.
Yes.
Don't assume that you know how other people are feeling because you bloody well don't.
Yeah.
And that is your husband who you've just been speaking about death and flipping cancer and there you are thinking about Spitfires.
Spitfire at World War II.
I know.
All those years ago. Yeah.
So
I
really hope that listening to this gives you hope and thinks, do you know what? Don't put yourself. And when all this started, I've said this before on this podcast, when all this started, I was stood in the kitchen with Sonny. It was just before Christmas. I was crying my eyes out and Sonny put his arms around me and he said, hey, just remember, you're not the one with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't got cancer, he said.
Yep.
And I remember at the time it sort of like went in, but it was like pushed to the side as if like, oh, you're just a child. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, but now he bloody well did know what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Because like you said, and that the title of this podcast, I'm going to call this podcast All Consuming. When you let something consume you like this, it doesn't do you any good whatsoever, no, does it, Bri?
No.
It really doesn't.
It just doesn't, because it's consuming us all in different ways, like you said. But at the end of the day, although we're going through this as a family, it's not you. And even if it was, then you would just have to cope with it as ever it is that you have to cope with it, because there's no other option.
No,
you can, you know,
no.
You just can't.
So I really hope that was helpful. And there was something else I just wanted to say before we went off, but I've kind of lost my trail of thought now. Yeah, just that thing of like being, I've lost.
What,
my
leaning
trail
on people
thought.
And stuff like that? You wanted to talk about?
Yeah, just
stuff,
no.
Or
I did.
Or?
I did write that down. Yeah. I wrote leaning in on people's strengths.
Yeah.
But I think you've just said all that. I think you said that at the beginning of the podcast. I think you said it perfectly, because it is, it's about also recognizing that people bring different qualities, different strengths to every situation. Yeah. And I noticed that the other day, without going into too much personal detail, when we were around at my mum's and everything was going wrong, and we were in that situation where it was the three of us, mm-hmm. me, you and Kev, trying to decide what we do here, what steps do we take, how do we move forward. Mm. I'm there in the hallway crying, thinking of how my mum's feeling, not obviously not letting her see me crying, but thinking emotionally, leading from my emotions. No, she wouldn't want to go to hospital. She never wanted to go to hospital. Don't call the ambulance. She didn't want that. Kev is doing everything practically,
logically.
Logically. Yeah. Like, this is a mess. This needs cleaning. I need to do this. I need to get her upright. She's going to choke if she lays. I need to do this. And then you were in the background making tea, calling an ambulance, taking responsibility. There's your clean shirt, Kev. There's a cup of tea, Kev. There's your phone, Kev. There's your charger. You're going to go in the ambulance. You're going to go with Lynn. You're going to be with her. Do you know, and I just, when I came out of that night, I looked at all our strengths, mm-hmm. and how all of the three of us had worked as a team.
Yeah.
Now imagine if all of us had been like, oh my God, this is just awful. She never wanted this, did she? Or if all of us had been, well, I'm not dealing with Lynn. I've got tea to make. I've got an ambulance. I'm dealing with all this. Mm. Or if all of us had been, let me fold the sheets. Let me sit her up. Let me get her. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. And not only that, then you come home and you've got your kids giving you different strengths, yeah. giving you mm-hmm. a different way of looking at it.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful, because it was like all this, we are working together, and everyone is bringing different strengths to this.
Different strengths and qualities.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just leaning into it. Yeah. That's what I wanted to say. That was why I wrote that down, is like, when you're going through something like this, take every bit of person's help and support mm-hmm. and strength that they need, even if it's a hug, even if it's a, here's a cake, you know, even yeah. if it's a rub on the shoulder, even if it's a, I can tell you about, like, I've got a friend, she's in medicine, and I can tell you about anything you need yeah. to know about the drug she's on. And it's yeah. like, yes.
Yeah, know, it is. But so, you know, you go back to that situation you were talking about, and, you know, you've just said, you know, you don't know if we were all just sitting there crying, but you need the one who is emotional to give you the spin on it, and don't be cold-hearted, and don't be this, and don't have anyone's emotions in, you know, to worry about. This just needs to happen, and this is what's going to be. So yeah, you take all those things in, and but it's listening to other people at the same time, you know, and then realizing they're not going to make the decision. So guess what? I'll make a decision. And that's where it works, like that type of thing. Like, you know, because if you're all in the same boat, then everyone's just going to be sitting there waiting for someone to come from outside and make a decision for them. So yes, you have got to get off your bum sometimes and make that decision as well. Like, you know, but listen to what's going on around you at the same time, you know.
I think the most gorgeous thing that you've said that will always stick with me, and I'm hoping for you too, listening to this podcast or watching this podcast, however you consume it, is just that brilliant piece of advice of taking the strength for yourself so you can give it back, you yeah. know, just so you can be there. Still can't say yeah. it as well as you did, but it's on record now. Just rewind the tape, press rewind and you'll get on the tape and what you said. But yeah, I just think that, maybe you can summarize it better than I can before we leave.
That's taken from... it is an Eastern way of philosophy and stuff like that, but it comes from business too. So, you know, when people say, oh, you need to give more away to charity and do these sort of things, and it's the best advice I ever heard that came back is like, get yourself really wealthy and then you can afford to give it to charity. Mm. And it's the same thing with your energy, is you need it all for you first, to get yourself strong, and then you can give your energy away. You know, we've got boundless energy. Every one of us has got unlimited energy. That's Bob Proctor that told us that. you know, and it's very true. You know, I hear kids and things today, oh, I'm so tired. I've just done an 8-hour shift or a 12-hour shift. And yeah, you can keep going. You can do a 15-hour shift if you need to. You can do a 24-hour shift if you have to. Yeah. All right. Yes, you're going to have to maybe pay it back somewhere else. But I'm just saying, it's all in us that we've got it. And that's about that kia kaha, staying strong. It's like, if you're strong, you're strong for everybody.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that we made this podcast. I really am. Yeah. I'm really glad that we went ahead and did this, even though it's gone down a... it hasn't gone down a completely different route, but I wasn't expecting to be able to have such a fantastic insight into the way you're feeling. So I'm really, really glad that we've done this podcast. And yeah,
but it's not about me, though, is it? Have you said what you needed to say?
Yes, I have. I've said completely what I needed to say, yeah.
That's good.
Because all I wanted to talk about was how it's consuming. See, here's the thing. It hasn't all been about you. What you've done is made it all about me and everyone else listening to this that needs the advice. None of this has been about you. So this has been your gorgeous thoughts on it and your advice.
Yeah. But you always remember, as like I said to you the other day, you're the one of the strongest persons I know, or one of the strongest people I know. And I love you as well, very, very deeply. Mm. So when you are coping amazingly well, just to be able to talk about this now. And if that can be advice to someone else, is just talk about it to someone. And if you've got no one to talk about, get a microphone or get your phone out and just talk into and record it.
That's such good advice. You know? Yeah. I would second that as well. I would say write it down, write your thoughts down, just write everything down. I do this every morning. I journal 3 pages. I just write down everything that I'm thinking and then I just never read it ever again. It's not a journal. It's just a mind dump. Get it out of your head and just get it down. And like Bryce said, if you don't want to do that, we've all got phones these days. Press record on your little voice recorder. Speak into there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. Press delete. Whatever, just get it out.
Yep. Just get it out.
And even better, talk to someone who you can have a conversation with.
If you're going through the same thing and there's hospices and stuff out there and you're being offered counselling.
Just take it.
Damn good advice.
It really is, and that's what it's there for because look what it does. Yeah, look how it
helps. Don't think you can cope on your own.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people who listen to this, I know, are probably on their own. But there are people out there that will lend an ear. Mm. But if not, press record.
And so, my beautiful friend listening to this, you really are. You've given us so much support. Each and every comment we read, each and every email I reply to. And I just want to say that you are not alone. And we really hope that this episode has brought as much to you as it has to me personally. And I just want to say thank you. Stay strong and keep looking after yourself. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Good advice. And that's what it's all about. Without you, there is nothing. Yeah. So, kia kaha, stay strong. That's what that means, in case you don't know. It's a Māori pronunciation of stay strong. Not so much pronunciation language. And ki'u, stay true. And that's true to yourself. And you'll be there for everybody then. And yourself. But you are number one.
Thank you so much for joining us this week on the podcast. We've really loved having you. It's always so wonderful just to be able to chat to you in your ear. Just thank you so much. You don't know how much we appreciate that. And if you haven't yet signed up for my Front Row newsletter, now is the time to do that. I am an author, and the best of my writing is shared in my regular newsletter with the people that I care about the most. Sign up for that newsletter and let me connect with you, inspire you, write you stories. And if I don't manage to make you inspired, then I promise to have you pee in your pants with laughter. How about that? When's the last time you got an offer like that, hey? So go on, sign up for the Front Row newsletter. It would be an honour to get to know you better. Sign up now by going to www.itsadrama.com/frontrow. itsadrama.com/frontrow. And I will send you that newsletter. It's absolutely free. Did I mention that? It's absolutely free. And don't worry about spam and things like that, because the only spam I know about is that stuff that comes in the tin with a dodgy key opener. So you're safe with me. Head on over there, sign up, and let me get to know you better. See you soon.